morning we're going to have the Corinthians at Christmas time. And we do have a connection to those believers way back when, because we're a member of the same body. They happen to be in heaven through Christ. We happen to be on earth. But there's a celebration going on when we praise God. They're praising God perfectly. We're praising God imperfectly. So we want to get to know them a little bit and how they responded to their Christmas, that is, Jesus coming into their lives. And appreciate Jeff's song very, very much, along with all the other choir and so forth, offertory, that carrying the Corinthians with all their troubles. Okay, the Lord had to do that. And they were weary. Okay, come all, everybody who's weary. They were weary of sin and self. And so the Lord had to get them back to himself. They were troubled and a sin-broken group of believers. So you and I should be able to identify with the Corinthians. They were from a town that was kind of a party town. I don't know if that's your neck of the woods or not. Maybe the noisy neighbors down the street. So they're the Corinthians. The town was big on Greek culture, big on national pride, big on education, big on immoral living. So those were their background. Okay, so if you can identify with any of those in your past or maybe struggling in your present, the Corinthian church, they would say, come on, be a member with us. And the Corinthians loved Christ, but they had a hard time repenting of the sin that they had been used to and the sin that they were quietly used to in their own souls. And so they unintentionally brought a whole bunch of sin into church life, all their relationships with each other, okay, and their relationship to God. And God was all about cleaning them up through Christ. He did that through his Son. He continued to do that through his Son and his Spirit. So their behavior at times looked like this. Now, you could picture yourself, this is the annual report of Corinthian Church or Norwin Alliance Church, and, you know, brace yourself today. What in the world is going to be in there? And, well, the Lord said, first of all, you have to watch for the divisions based on human leadership. There were differences among people. I follow Paul. I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, these differences were among them to show which one had God's approval. And sometimes we do this in our attitudes toward other people around us. The thought might be, I'm approved by God through Christ, and you're approved by God through Christ, I think, but I'm a little more approved by God than you are. Okay, this is what was happening in the Corinthian church. They also looked for wisdom as something they highly valued. Wisdom as a way of salvation or discipleship as an ultimate thing was really not going to serve them well. It was going to be Christ, even in his crucifixion, that was wiser than the wisest of men. So Paul wanted to get them back to the Lord in their soul. They were bringing lawsuits against each other. So you guys over there, stop bringing lawsuits against these guys over there. Paul actually had to deal with that. Christmas time, communion time, pretty rough stuff. They exalted certain spiritual gifts over other spiritual gifts. Got to watch out for that. In our culture, I think we tend to exalt gifts of pretty exciting things, which is not bad to be thankful, but when you put them above others, this is not a sign of spiritual maturity. They also, even at our communion times, they overindulged, ate too much, and even Paul had to say right in the letter there, Don't get drunk at communion. Okay. Now you might say, you know, I'm concerned about communion because it doesn't seem to be enough closeness to the Lord there or respect for what he did. And especially this guy next to me, you know, he's drinking so much he actually got drunk there. You would be concerned. And the Lord was, and Paul was, so he had to straighten that out. And yet he did it to bring him back to the Lord. Okay. A very tough love, grace of God kind of action. And someone said, since then we'd be very cautious. We wanted the Lord definitely to change the wine into grape juice. Okay? Is it one time he changed the water into wine? We want him to change the wine into grape juice so no drunkenness would occur. That's some of you are familiar with what I'm talking about. Others are like, what is he talking about? But anyway, Paul dealt with that in the Corinthians. In spite of those real sins, God was helping them to repent, and God showered them again with his love and grace, and the Lord continued to change their lives. Chapter 2, Paul said this. He said, I wrote you a letter the first time, and when I wanted to visit, I did so with tears. Did you ever love somebody so much you cried when you wrote the letter? That was the Lord's attitude toward the Corinthian church. They were struggling, and so he wanted them to get away from the sin, get back toward God. And so he mentioned that. He said, I even caused you to cry by my letter. And then verse 14, which is part of the passage that Wes read, he said this. Remember, this is the group, that some of which I've described. He said, God is leading us. So Paul identifies with them. He wants to be in the same parade as these Corinthians. God is leading us in triumphal procession. It was the kind of victory march that people would have after a big war. Okay? And your side won. So you get to march down the streets of Irwin. There might have been like the Happy Thanksgiving parade or Christmas parade. And the Corinthians are in the march. They're there. And Paul says, Paul's there too. And Christ leads them in triumphant procession. I was in a traffic jam the other day, and I saw all these cars lined up, and I thought, traffic jam, And I remembered this passage. Hey, maybe there's a lot of believers in that traffic jam. Maybe it's not just a traffic jam. Maybe it's a triumphant procession. Okay? Only going 2 miles an hour. But a triumphant procession. These people are going to heaven who know the Lord. They're not just, getting miffed for waiting in line. There. God leads us in Christ in triumphant procession. He wins every day battles. And we are to God the aroma of Christ among people, saved and lost. In other words, the impact that we have on people, we can't explain. Paul uses a figure of speech. More special and precious than the most expensive perfume you could buy for yourself or your loved one. Okay, and I don't know what that is. We'll have to take a vote. What do the women at Norwin Alliance wear for the perfume of blessing? Or what do the men wear? Something that's a fragrance. And God, the Holy Spirit, said, you wear Christ as the fragrance, the aroma of Christ to God and to all people, those who are saved and those who are lost. What a compliment that the Lord would give these struggling believers, Anybody reading those letters would say, these are crummy Christians. They're not doing too many things right. But the Lord is working with them. And He has a great plan for them, and He's straightening them out through the grace of God. And so God's fragrance is on you and I through Christ because of who Jesus is in us. When you go among other people in the world, through what God's influence is on them, they say, God must be very good. This person who I work with, who I live in their neighborhood, I don't know. They remind me of God. It's not that they're, have a big T-shirt on saying, I believe in God. But they remind me of God. God must be good. And they remind me of life and death and eternity, too. I guess I'm going to face judgment someday. The smell of, accountability of where we go. And also the smell of heaven. Oh, there's hope in this person. They live like they're going to heaven. Wow. Paul was saying, you Corinthians, you're like this, even with all your troubles. So I want to make some applications of this and have us rejoice with the Corinthians in our fellowship with God and with each other. God leads us. That's what Paul said. God leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Even the troubled Corinthians. And then we have our imperfect actions, which is a part of the picture. I discussed these with the Corinthians, or described them that way. The first great work of God, Jesus' sacrifice made for us at the cross. His love expressed His resurrection from the dead. Our imperfect actions are the sacrifice we make for Jesus. Now, we want to be careful that when we promote Christ, it's the left side of the good news that we share. Okay? It's not, we do this for God and this for God and this for God, you know. And this is good news for you. Neighbors are going to say, get away from me. You're just talking about yourself. Now, the Bible does say, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, but that's in light of what Christ has done for you. It's the cross of Christ that is to be proclaimed. That's the good news that the world longs for, and our own souls and our fellow believers long for also. We are saved by the love we trust, not by the love we express. Love we trust, Jesus and what He did for us. Love we express, our worship, our obedience, what we do, you know, those are going to be always in a growth pattern. They're always going to be imperfect. So don't talk too much about them, okay? Paul to the Corinthians, he said, when you give an offering, don't blow the trumpet. You look foolish. You know, blow the trumpet about Christ. Next one, Christ's obedience is a part of the triumphal procession. Our obedience for Christ, that flows out of our faith. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not your obedience for Christ. One man tried to emphasize this. He said this to shock everybody. And I'm going to say the same thing. I am going to heaven based on obedience. And it's Christ's obedience, not my own. And that's good news to a troubled heart. It was good news to the Corinthians. Okay, they were a fragrance of Christ from God. Christ's obedience for us. Our obedience for Christ. You can't help but love Christ without obeying Him. You know, our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic faith, they really, really concentrate hard on that second column. Our obedience for Christ. They say, Jesus died for us. He rose from the dead. That's good news. And then they say, but that's not enough now. You have to do this, and 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 maybe, just maybe, you will be in heaven with God forever. And everybody sweats it out and feels guilty and says, I wonder if, you know, I better pray for Uncle John. He's been dead for 20 years, but I know he was a rascal and I got to get him to heaven. Jesus didn't come with that message. Okay, Jesus comes and says, He is the way and the truth and the life. We get to the Father by Him. It's surprising how many of us evangelical Christians live on the right side of the ledger. We say, if you want to really get it right, it's our obedience. Come on now, try harder. And those things. Whether the gospel is not part of that message. Repentance is, but not the salvation God brings. And then Jesus does all for us, or what we do for God. What we do for God is going to fall short. We co-labor with Him and cast our crowns before Him, but He does all for us. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the power. So the left side of all those ways God leads us, that's what brings thankfulness and praise and a yielded, surrendered life and a loving, obedient life. The right side of the equation is a part of who we are. But if we just looked at the right side, we would say, that was a good effort, but we're all going to hell. Right side. But we would all go to hell. And that righteousness would be filthy rags before the left side. Before God. And so, that's part of the good news. There was an amen there from the recording. Okay. Now, how does it apply to walking with the Lord? God's grace, His gift to us and to the Corinthians, the cross of Jesus, the Lord's Supper. You know, at the cross, Jesus said, every sin already forgiven and every righteousness already passed on. The righteousness is the goodness of God, which that's our only goodness, who He is. So we give them all the credit. Jeremiah called them the Lord our righteousness. Paul called them in this first letter to the Corinthians. Jesus is our righteousness and our sanctification. So how great it is to see yourself in that light. And it honors the Lord to do so. And we begin to get our souls in the right direction. And then one of my favorite preachers there, an old preacher, Steve Brown, said applied the passage like this. You smell like Jesus and you smell like sin, and you cannot get rid of either one. Now you might say, well, that's kind of crass. But really, in Corinthians, Paul's saying, you're the aroma of Christ. So that's the impact of the Lord in our lives. Not smell in a literal sense, but impact in a spiritual sense. And we do smell like sin until we go to heaven, right? Corinthians smelled like sin. Galatians smelled like sin. Romans smelled like sin. On you go. But the grace of God was greater. And so Martin Luther, when he thought of this, he said, we are simultaneously saint and sinner. I think that gives a Corinthian Bible perspective in our walk. We are simultaneously saint and sinner. And so that keeps us leaning on God, but very, very thankful. Remember in Isaiah 65, God said, my dear people, I show myself to them. They didn't even ask for me, and yet they're obstinate and provoking, and they're like smoke in my nostrils. Smoke in the nostrils speaks of God's wrath and something not good. So we always, without Christ, we always smell like sin to God. And that should keep us on our knees, thanking Him, turning to Him, repenting in every manner. And knowing His goodness, I want to share with you a story that a preacher told about someone who was changed by being in the triumphal procession with Christ. It was a dear gal who hadn't seen their youth leader for quite a long time, went back to see them. And the youth leader was so glad to see him. What's been going on with you? How have you been doing? Well, so much has been going on with me. You know, I met a guy and we started to date and it was really good. And I told myself, and you're aware of this, youth director, that in the past I had a lot of troubles. And so I thought, I'm dating this guy. We're getting close. So I got to tell him about the abortion, but I couldn't do it. Got to tell him about the abortion, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And then we got engaged, and I thought, we're really close now. We're headed toward husband and wife, and I really should probably tell him about the abortion, but I just couldn't do it. And then we got married. You know, we've been married 2 or 3 years now, and we want to begin to share everything in our souls, and I wanted to tell him about the abortion, but I just couldn't do it. And so my soul is troubled. And the youth director said to them, you know, you know how Jesus is, and He's full of grace and truth, okay? And you face the truth of turning away from God in what happened, what was the abortion there. And I know you've repented of that, and you're not going to go in that direction, you know, before God. And so let's pray, because I think God wants you to have peace with Him and peace with yourself and peace with your husband. So they prayed. And after the prayer, the lady said, thank you. Thank you, my friend. Now I think I can go and tell my husband about my abortion. And the youth director said, what abortion? What abortion? Because in the Bible, God says He removes our sin as far as east is from the west. And it's not a particular sin maybe you have, but you have them. You have sin. And without Christ, you're stuck with that. But with Christ, removed as far as east is from the west. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians that through Christ, God would not count men's trespasses against them. He would not. And so the question is raised, so Where are those trespasses gone? Who do they get counted against? And we say, Christ, they were counted against Him on the cross. And we have been set free. In our place, condemned, He stood. Sealed our pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So if the Lord did it for the Corinthians, the Lord did it for this dear gal, the Lord would do it for you and I. And we come and we say, Merry Christmas, Jesus. We say, thank you for communion, Jesus. Thank you for you. And our lives are changed as God continues to work with us. Let's pray and be at His table, please.